Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord from Psalm 84. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord from Psalm 84.
Woo! A dry experience, a dusty experience, a desert experience. You run into knuckleheads that want to oppose you and that want to talk about you and that want to bring you down. You run into needs during the week. You run into problems during the week. You go through the valley of Baca. But as you go, the Lord sends the rain. He fills your pools. He gives you refreshment as you go. But he didn't stop there. Because he goes on and he says this. It says that they go. Now let me ask you this question. Before I read the verse, let me ask you this question. If you're going through the desert, if you're going through the valley of Baca, the tendency is for the sun, the dryness, the lack of water to begin to what? To drain you. You know, if you're, you start like, man, you know, I need to be refreshed. But so, he's refreshing you as you go through. And when you go, he says that they shall go from what? Strength. Woo. Woo. They shall go from strength. He didn't say they shall go from strength to, he didn't say they shall go from strength to, he said they shall go from strength to strength. That means when you are in the house of the Lord and in between going to the house of the Lord, that you come on Sunday or Saturday, whenever it is that you worship, you come and you get pumped up, you get built up, you get filled up, you get stored up, and you go out. And you can make it through the valley of Baca because you're going from strength to strength. That's why some folk are fainting. The world is out there in the valley of Baca. That's where the world is at. And what's happening to them? They're fainting. And it's a shame. It's almost made me say something I didn't want to say. It's a shame if a Christian goes through the valley of Baca and doesn't find their strength Oh, I'm not saying that the sun don't beat down on you. I'm not saying that you don't get worn out. I'm not saying that you don't have problems. I'm not saying that you don't get drained. But the scripture says they go from strength to strength. That in the midst of being beat down and beat up and being dragged out, that you find strength to keep going on. You find strength to keep going on. What did he say? They shall go from what? Strength to strength. And why is that? Because you're found like the sparrow. The sparrow has found a nest. The sparrow has found a house. That when you find this house, that you go not from strength to weakness, but you go from strength to strength to strength to strength. And so that's the voyage. That's the voyage. You know, people say, you don't need to come to church to be a Christian. That's true. Oh, man, that's true. You are so right. But you need to come and get strengthened. You can find strength in the house of the Lord. You know, what does that song say? The potter's house. In the potter's house, there's joy in the potter's house. There's love in the potter's house. There's strength in the potter's house. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down to the potter's house and go from strength to strength. And then we close. We looked at the vision of the house of the Lord. We see the voyage to the house of the Lord. And then we want to close today with the value of the house of the Lord. The value of the house of the Lord. First of all, the biggest value of the house of the Lord, it's a place of prayer. It's a place of prayer. That when the psalmist went through the valley of Baca and the psalmist got to the house of the Lord, look what he says in verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon thy face of thy anointed. So the psalmist is saying, you know, Lord, hear my prayer. That when I'm in the house of the Lord, this is a house of prayer. That this house is a place of prayer. That's not to say you can't pray in your home, you can't pray in your car, you can't pray on your job, but this place is a house of prayer. And that when you come, man, you ought to have a prayerful attitude. That your attitude ought to be, whatever requests are on my heart, whether I come up to the altar and kneel, whether I write up a prayer request and have Reverend Angel read it, whatever the case might be, if I'm coming to the house of the Lord with prayer in my heart. And your attitude ought to be, again, you can pray anytime. So I'm not saying that you can't pray. You have to be in the house of the Lord to pray. But there's something about being in God's house with God's people. You know, they have brought God here with them. That when I come and I call on the Lord, that there's a special connection that I'm able to make in the house of the Lord. And sometimes, you know, I just can't wait. And I realize everybody don't come to the altar. But when I'm in here, I can't wait to get to the altar. Just to bow my knee and to bend my head and come to the Lord in prayer. And there's something special about that. And notice what the psalmist says. He says, Lord, look upon the face. Let me read it so I'm getting it the way that he's saying it. Verse 9. Behold, our God, O God, our shield. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Where does this anointing come from? This anointing comes from being in the house of the Lord. That when you're in the house of the Lord, you come and your prayer is, Lord, look upon the face of your anointed. Lord, I'm your child. Lord, I've accepted your son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I've been anointed by you. I've been anointed to be a child of God. I've been anointed to serve you. Lord, look upon the face of your anointed and hear my prayer. When you come to the house of God, the psalmist said that the house of the Lord is a place of prayer. But don't take this the wrong way. Don't take this the wrong way. But the house of the Lord is also a place of pleasure. It's a place of pleasure. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of erotic pleasure. I'm not talking about amusement park pleasure. I'm talking about spiritual pleasure. Spiritual pleasure. That is a place of pleasure. And we see three things about this. First of all, it's pleasure in the presence of God. Look at verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. That if you know how to connect with God in the house of God, that one day in the presence of God is better than a thousand days out on the corner selling drugs. One day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand days of drinking liquor and getting drunk. One day in the house of the Lord is better than spending your time lusting after people of the opposite sex. One day in the house of the Lord is better than you getting out here trying to scheme and connive and get over on somebody else. One day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand elsewhere. Just think where you spend your time. And you spend at the most 2 hours here on a Sunday. Somebody say, well, no, Pastor, the way you preach, we don't spend 2 hours. We start at 10:30. Now, look, it's about 5 minutes after 12 now, so I got about another 25. No, I'm just kidding. We spend about 2 hours generally here on a Sunday morning. But think of all the other hours of the day. Where do you spend them at? And let me ask you this. And I'm not saying because I'm preaching. I'm just saying in any church. Do you experience the spiritual richness? When the choir was leading us this morning, Did not your heart burn within you? Weren't you not blessed? Weren't you just moved? And I saw many of you stand up. When are you standing up during the week like that? You know, you might worship it. You know, some of us, you know, we might have that going on. Okay, I'll give it. But the majority of us don't, let's be honest. Where are you standing up like that praising God? Okay? Where are you sitting for a half hour listening to... Where are you sitting for 45 minutes? Where are you sitting for an hour? Just listening and connecting with the Word of God. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand. Wow. And people don't want to come. I want to make church as exciting as possible. I want to make the Word as exciting as possible. Man, I spend time studying, breaking it down, figuring out how to illustrate it, because I want to make it as exciting as possible. I want people to want to come and hear the Word of God so that they might say, even if I'm just there for an hour, that 1 hour is better than a thousand elsewhere. Better than a thousand elsewhere. Just that moment that I could come and just sit and worship and sing and hear the Word of God and pray, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. What else you gonna do today? When you leave here today, what are you gonna do that's better than this right now? Again, I'm not saying because I'm up here, anybody could be. But what are you gonna do that the rest of the day that's better than this? I know I'm going to take a nap. I go hard on Saturday, man. I go hard studying, stay up late studying, get up early. I was over here about 6:30 this morning. I go hard. So I'm going to go home and take me a nap this afternoon. There was a time that Pastor Glaze, you know, I didn't need a nap. Come on, let's go back to second service. I'm ready to go. All right, Father Time, man, makes us want to take a nap. But even as refreshing as that nap might be, it's not as good as what I'm experiencing right now. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I would rather find my niche in serving God in his house. Oh. I'd rather find my service in the house of God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper doing what God wants me to do in his house than to be in the crack house. Than to be in the alcoholic house. Man, that's delight. That's delight. We're able to delight in the presence of God. And then not only in the presence of God, but pleasure in the power of God. Look what he says in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walks upright. That when you find your niche in the house of the Lord, it says that he will give, he's a sun, that means he'll give you light. It says he's a shield. That means he'll give you protection. And so that's the power of God, that whenever you find yourself in the house of God, you experience the power of God. But then there's pleasure in the presence of God, pleasure in the power of God. But let me finish with this. Pleasure in the presence of God. The presence, the first presence was where God is at. The second present is the presence that he gives, like you would get on Christmas, the presence of God. Well, what are the presence of God? Look what it says here. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walks upright. When it says that he will give grace, that means he will give his graces, love, joy, peace, all those good gifts that God gives. And you know, people are millionaires, have all the money in the world, but they don't have peace. Some millionaires have all the money in the world, but they don't have joy. They have all the money in the world, but they don't have love. God gives his grace, his graces he gives to us, and also his glory. And what is his glory? That's the reflection of his character. That you can reflect the character of God. He gives grace and glory. But then, look, no good thing. Now, again, we got the wrong ideas about what good things are, but good things are what God determines to be good. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Wow. The presence of God. These are the blessings of being in the house of God. And as I close, if you go to that last slide, and just some thoughts that I jotted down, how to get the most out of church, how to get the most of coming to church. Number one, just some thoughts, just my musings, my ramblings. First of all, you get out what you put in. You get out what you put in. Secondly, as I've already said, bring God with you. That when you come to church, bring God with you. Don't come here looking for God. If you are unsaved, then you come here looking for God. If you're a Christian, bring God with you. Make sure he's with you when you come. Have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let me ask this question. What are you hungering and thirsting for during the week? Whoa. What are you hungering and thirsting for during the week? See, if you're hungering and thirsting for the wrong things during the week, then you're not going to hunger and thirst for the right things on Sunday morning or Saturday, whenever the worship day is. All right? So you ought to come if you want to be a worshiper, if you want to enjoy your experience in the house of God, that you ought to come hungering and thirsting. You ought to come here, you know, I love it. I love it when I don't have to preach. Because you know what I do? I sit right down there. I got my Bible. I got my notebook. And I got my pen. And you know what I say to the preacher? Feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Because I'm hungry. I came today hungry. I'm like a bulldog that hasn't eaten in a week. I'm going to tear into that. Know what it means to worship. I've done several studies on worship. If you email me, I'll send you my notes. Know what it means to worship. See, the people don't know what it means to worship. And so we think that if a certain thing don't happen, then we haven't worshiped. But that's not what worship is all about. If you understand the true meaning of worship, then you'll come to the house of the Lord with a different attitude. Seek to connect with others while you're here. That's why we have fellowship time. That's why we have koinonia, so that we can connect. Now, we got to bring y'all back sometimes, but that's why we have koinonia, so you can connect. That there's that connection when you come to the house of the Lord. Or, you know, afterwards, before. I almost don't want to talk about this one. Minimize the distraction. Take eyes off of others and other things. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Bad pastor. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to get in trouble. There are some people that know more about what some person wore than what the preacher said. All right, then the last thing. Open your bulletins. The last thing, have the right attitude. All right, every Sunday. I don't even know if y'all know this is in there. Every Sunday. I don't even know if you know this is in there. Right there in the order of service. All right, right there in the order, where we have the order of service, notice what it says at the top. You got to have the right attitude. Look what it says. Enter in what? Humility, wait, prayerfully, worship, depart, sir. All right, that's in there every Sunday. All right? Now, if we come with this attitude right there, that will enrich your experience in the house of the Lord. So you ask yourself the question, how did you come in today? Did you enter in humility? Have you been waiting prayerfully? Have you been worshiping reverently? And now are you going to depart to serve? You got to ask yourself that question. So again, how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Does Your Dead Spiritual Life Say RMA or DNR? From Psalm 85. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. And it's through your prayers and your gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Myrna Patterson reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.